Proverbs chapter 4 was where we took our text for our series. Proverbs chapter 4 is the instruction of a dad to a son. He's encouraging him that I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. In verse number 2, Solomon writes, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. We understand that to be Bathsheba. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, speaking of wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her. And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom here is personified as a woman, or as a prophetess, as she is in Proverbs chapter number 1. And this is a book that is written for a young man, or for all of us, to know wisdom. We find that in chapter 1, verse number 2. We took from these verses, and God put within my heart, the need to spend a few weeks on a series on the subject of wisdom. We entitled the series, Getting Wisdom. I pray it's been a blessing to you. I pray that you have been thinking about wisdom. I pray you find yourself asking God for wisdom throughout the day. I found myself today numerous times asking God for wisdom. God, give me the words to say. God, give me the direction you'd have for me. And my desire is to impress upon us the need and the value of wisdom. We talked about the need for wisdom today in our very first message. And we said that there's two types of wisdom that we are faced with. There's a wisdom that's called earthly. There's a wisdom that's from above. The wisdom that's earthly is demonic in its origin. It's sensual. It's exposed that way. It's devilish. It has a philosophy and a thought process and a direction that would be void of the Word of God. Solomon, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, put under there that would be defined as something that was under the sun. It's the kind of wisdom that only has a horizontal viewpoint. It's wisdom that says that within the heart and mind and soul of man, that is sufficient. Man's own understanding would be that which would dominate that wisdom. Solomon understood that man's own understanding was tremendously dangerous. He wrote to his son in the very next chapter, lean not unto thine own understanding. So there is a earthly wisdom that we are faced with all the time. We learn from the book of James that culminates in evil and in confusion. And by the way, our world is filled with evil today, and our world is tremendously confused. And I believe that to be because it operates according to a wisdom that's not on the authority of God's word. But I've seen that same confusion and that same evil even come into good, Bible-believing, God-loving, church-going people if we're not careful. Because that wisdom finds its reception in our senses, and we're so prone to what makes sense to us. We're so prone to common sense. We're so prone to, if it tastes good, smells good, feels good, sounds good, or looks good, then it must be acceptable. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves living our lives like that. And it's tremendously dangerous. The wisdom that is from above has Christ as its origin. We find that in Him, that's Christ, the book of Colossians says, is hid all the wisdom of God. Corinthians, Paul said, Christ is made unto us wisdom. We find that the wisdom that comes from above, it finds its exposure through faith. We find that it's merciful, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's all of those things. That is the wisdom that you and I desperately need. That ought to be the wisdom that is attractive to us. That ought to be the wisdom that we desire for. When we're asking God for wisdom, we're asking for that kind of wisdom. What is wisdom? We looked at that, and we said that wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We'll talk about this. But wisdom is that knowledge and fear of the Lord that we have that results in a love for truth and righteousness and a hatred for evil. And true wisdom will always have a love for truth and for righteousness. And the wisdom of God will always have that shunning or that repulsiveness from evil. And by the way, so different is that than our flesh. Our flesh will always be attracted to that kind of direction, but and to wisdom that would bring to it that sinfulness. But the wisdom of God repulses against that. And there is a hatred for evil and a hatred for sinful things and a hatred for things that are against God. And so we looked at what wisdom is. And then last week we saw in the end of chapter number 1 that wisdom is crying. And we looked at why wisdom was crying. And I think it's important, a little bit of text here before we go, or context before we go into verse number 2. Solomon is writing to his boy. And if you look at verse number 8 of chapter 1, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee..." This dad was concerned about his boy being enticed. By the way, every parent ought to be concerned about their kids being enticed. That's why you need wisdom as to what you allow your kids to do, where you allow them to go, who you allow them to hang with. That's why you need to be prayerful every morning, vigilant as to what's going on in their world, because there is an enticement outside of our homes. There is an agenda. There is an aggressiveness. And Solomon understood that his boy was going to face an aggressive enticement from sinners to come a certain direction. And so he's doing the best he can to warn them. And he says now in verse number 10, "Consent thou not, do not give in. If they say, come with us," peer pressure there, by the way, peer pressure, "Pastor," I'm finding that peer pressure is really revealing itself in our home. And I'm finding that my kids are really battling with peer pressure. All right, is there anything that overcomes peer pressure? Two things. If your kids are battling peer pressure, here's where I would take them. Number one, I would take them to the love of Jesus Christ for them. Direct them straight to the love of God. Direct them straight to the person of Christ. And then you have to love them over that peer pressure. The love of dad and mom must be stronger and more focus than that peer pressure. Pastor, are we in competition? Yes, you are in competition. Don't think just because they live in your home and they go out there that there is not a competition. That there is a competition for which way they're going to go. And there's this worldly peer pressure that will direct them. And parent, you better understand that that's part of that. And you're not going to win peer pressure by putting down your thumb and squashing everything. Parent can't be against everything. You got to be for something. The greatest thing a parent can be for is Jesus Christ. Right? So you got to learn. Solomon's looking at his boy and he says, now those guys are going to try to direct you that direction. Don't consent to that. And he goes on. He says, "If they say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily, let us swallow them up, go down alive as the grave, we shall find all precious substance." Verse 13, "Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." Tremendous peer pressure. Solomon says, "My son," a love, term of love and endearment, "walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their," say that word, "path." Next time you study the book of Proverbs, you ought to underline, circle every time you see the word path. It is mentioned throughout the book of Proverbs. And so Solomon's understanding is, I got a boy that I want to walk in the right path. And he says, I know there's going to be peer pressure to direct him down a path of blood. I know there's going to be peer pressure to take him away from that. And so he begins to direct his son. He's concerned about what path they are. He says, "Now for their feet," verse 16, "run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Now, what he's doing is he is explaining to that boy how much he loves him, explaining to him what truly the direction they are headed. Sometimes your kids will come to you and they will say, why can't I do this? It's not that bad. It's not that deceptive. It's not this or it's not that. And the world has a great way of putting a innocent face on great evil. Hear that again. The world has a great way of putting an innocent face on tremendous evil. And I catch it even on the Disney Channel. I catch it throughout. The only way I know to tell you to be attentive to that is you as a dad and mom have to walk in the Spirit of God constantly. Because somebody asked me even today, Pastor, how do I kind of manage the direction my kids are going? How do I just say, okay, this thing happened one time and I'm cutting all this off from my kid, or this cut and I'm just, and we're not having a TV in the house and we're not doing this and we're no, don't do that. Learn to be led and directed and pricked and sensitive to the Spirit of God. There'll be times I will be in the room and I'll hear the kids and they're watching something and I'll hear someone tell, and my spirit is pricked. I'm like, hey guys, that doesn't honor the Lord. We got to turn that. And if you're not walking in the Spirit and sensitive to the Spirit of God as their parent, you are never going to be able to recognize that great evil that lies underneath that innocency. Do you understand that statement or not? It's a great point. Solomon is here, and he understands that these boys are taking him down an innocent, but it's a great evil, and he's concerned with that. So he's trying to love his boy. Then he does an awesome job at defining and exposing the devilish direction that they're headed. And he does it by verse number 20, presenting wisdom as crying in the street. She uttereth her voice. We did this last week. And in the middle of the street, she's crying out the truth. She's crying out to the simple ones. She's crying out, verse 22, to the scorner. She's crying out to the fools. And verse number 23, her message is repent. That's the word turn. And the promise is, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. And so Solomon says, now, son, wisdom is standing in the street, and wisdom is pronouncing the truth and the gospel, and wisdom is exposing who they are, and wisdom is begging them to turn. But look at verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. See, they have not innocently, but they have very much cognitively, they have very much purposefully rejected wisdom. And so these group of sinners that were enticing, they were purposeful, they were cognitive, they were understanding in that rejection. And here's this innocent boy that the dad loved, and he understands that there's this agenda that's purposeful that has rejected Jesus Christ and rejected wisdom. And Solomon is exposing to his boy the evilness of these guys. Not just what they do, but their heart. Not just how they perform, but their hatred toward Christ. And then he comes down and he says, now here's what wisdom is going to do. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And he's saying, listen, they're going a direction, then there's going to be calamity, and there's going to be fear. When it comes as a whirlwind, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me. Verse 29 says, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And so Solomon has got his boy here, and he's trying to encourage him that you don't want to run with people who have purposely rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's concerned about that. And he's he's exposing to him the importance of wisdom. And we know wisdom to be the Lord Jesus. Look at verse number 32, it says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. These guys are headed down a dangerous path, a path of destruction. But, verse 33, whoso hearkeneth unto me, wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. All right, so Solomon has done an awesome job loving his boy. He's done an awesome job at defining what's happening. He's got an awesome job of saying, now listen, the peer pressure is just come and be with us and let's go and do this direction. But underneath that peer pressure is a purposeful denial of a hard heart that says, I reject you, Jesus. I want nothing to do with you. And we're headed in this direction. Solomon says to his boy, anybody that has rejected Jesus is headed in a dangerous direction. And we would agree with that. Right. So now he says, now, son, understand, it's not because I don't like their clothes. It's not because they go to the movies. It's not because they do certain things that make these people dangerous. It's because in their heart they have rejected Jesus that makes them dangerous. They have rejected wisdom. Now, he comes in chapter number 2, and after setting that stage and telling them in verse 33 that whoever receives wisdom will dwell safely and be quiet from the fear of evil, he comes to verse number 2 and he says, my son, if thou wilt. Or you could use the word right there, if thou choose. And so I want to preach tonight on the choice for wisdom. He comes to verse number 1 and he says, now son, if you will choose to receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto, say it, wisdom. All right? So he's bringing his son now to the point of, what are you going to choose? He's got it all set up and he says, now you choose what you're going to either receive wisdom or you're not going to receive wisdom. And by the way, wisdom is a choice on the part of God's people. You choose every day whether or not you're going to receive wisdom or you're going to reject wisdom. Your life is full of choices. We make them all the time. You choose whether you're going to get up and read or pray or you choose not to. You choose if you're going to serve the Lord or you choose not to. You choose if you're going to be saved or you choose not to. And there's this, God has allowed man and created man with that opportunity to choose. And so Solomon knows that my boy is going to make a choice. And he's either going to make a choice for wisdom or he's going to make a choice against wisdom. But I know that the choice will be his. By the way, you and I have the same choice for wisdom. We need to make that choice on a daily basis. And so Solomon says, if thou wilt receive my words. Boy, we've heard that word receive a lot, haven't we? And hide my commandments with thee. That word hide is the word treasure my commandments. And then he comes down here and he says, now after you're going to make a choice, I'm going to know whether or not you made a choice. And he gives evidence of this choice in verses 2 and 3. And these are the evidence of anybody that makes the choice for wisdom. So that thou incline thine ear. At the bottom of verse number 2, you see the word heart. At the middle of verse number 3, you see the word voice. Verse 2, you've got ear, heart. Verse 3, you got voice. Do you see that? Yes or no? Amen? All right. Evidence that a person is choosing for wisdom is seen in the fact of their ear, their heart, and their voice. Solomon says, now, I'll know if you treasure wisdom by how you incline your ear, how you bend your ear, what you're attentive to in your ear. And so Solomon says, what you hear and what you listen and what you take into will be evidence of whether or not you're applying your ear unto wisdom. You know, we hear a lot of stuff. Be careful what you listen to. the choice of wisdom, if you want God's wisdom, will always be defined on by what you're listening to. You cannot say you want the wisdom of God and then fill yourself with the words of the world. You cannot say, well, I want God's wisdom, and then constantly you pump into your ears either music or direction or whatever that comes out of the world. Your ear can't constantly be bent toward the knowledge of the world. The evidence that a man or a woman in this room wants true wisdom is I've got mine ear inclined unto that which will bring me to true wisdom. And he says, now incline thine ear, bend thine ear unto wisdom. That means you're eager to hear. Now, I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd. You're in church and you're listening and you're hearing, and there's an inclination to that. He says, then apply thine heart to understanding. Now, it comes in the ear, what I'm listening to, and then it comes, but it's got to get into my heart. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. So wisdom just can't be in my ear. It has to get into my heart. Why? Hold your hand here and go to Romans chapter 10. Let me show you something. I think this will be. You might know the verses. You may not have to go there, but I'm going to read them to you. Romans chapter 10, and I'll begin with verse number 9. Romans 10, 9 says this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what, class? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believe in our heart. We believe with our heart. So Solomon says, now boy, you have the opportunity to choose, if you want it, wisdom. Now, the evidence that you've chosen wisdom is, I'm going to see what your ear is inclined to, and then I'm going to notice that wisdom, that you're going to apply thine heart. It's going to go in and it's going to come into your heart. Why has it got to get there? Because that's what you believe with. And he says, the evidence that it's been down in your heart, or that you really believe wisdom, is found in verse number 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy, say it class, voice. See, your voice is evidential that wisdom is in your heart. If wisdom is not in your voice, wisdom is not in your heart. Well, Pastor, we kind of attribute wisdom to an intellectual knowledge. Listen, that's not what the Bible's talking about wisdom. God's wisdom does come in through that intellectual gate. It does come in through the ear as far as what we are listening to. But for it to have effect in our life, it has to get in our heart. It has to be in the part of us that believes. They used to say it this way, belief determines behavior. And so if my behavior is going to be tainted by wisdom, then I must believe it. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaketh. So if there's no wisdom in my mouth, there's no wisdom in my heart. So when I find myself verbalizing a direction or a thought or understanding about something I'm going through, If those words don't have the wisdom of God with them, then I don't have wisdom in my heart about this subject. And any subject I don't have wisdom in my heart about means I'm leaning on my own understanding. And any subject I'm leaning on my own understanding, I'm in big trouble. So how do I know, Pastor, if wisdom's in my heart? What are you talking about? When you come up to something, or is the word of God come up? The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. Do you find yourself quoting Bible verses? Do you find yourself speaking biblical principle? Do you find yourself quoting the oracles of God when you come to a certain situation? Can you quote a verse? Can you quote direction? Or is it adages? Or is it just little quibs and things? And well, you know the golden rule. Let me tell you something. Nobody got saved because of the golden rule. Or you know that charity begins at home. Or you know this or that. And we're kind of really careful or uncareful about letting those words go. But it's evidence that wisdom isn't in our heart. And Solomon says, now I'm looking at you, boy, and I'm telling you that if you choose wisdom, there'll be an evidence. I'll see how you incline your ear. It'll get in that heart, man. You apply your heart. And then it'll come out in your voice. And it'll be evidential. Then he goes on. He says, and by the way, I also know if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her, verse number 4, as for hid treasures. You see, you got to dig up hidden treasures. There's an energy. There's a direction. There's hard work. There's a seeking. There's a sought after. There's an aggressiveness. Have you ever had to search for a precious metal? Anybody ever lost their wedding ring? Anybody ever lost it? A couple of you, brave souls, you've lost your wedding ring. You want to admit to it. You know what it is to search for something precious. Have you ever tore the house apart looking for something? You ever tore your car seats apart looking for something? When I can't find something, I go into Tommy's room. Because usually that's where I'll find it at. And so Solomon says, now, son, seek for wisdom like you would seek for buried treasure. Buried treasure. Not a lot of things motivate us. If I went out there and I said, now, listen, we're having a work day tomorrow. And we need to, Brother Jim, you would appreciate this. We need to dig a trench from the back of our property to the front of the road, 300 feet, right? And we really need this trench to be 10 foot deep the whole way. And your pastor is going to start at 7:30 in the morning, and I need some help. How many people you think is going to show up to help me dig that trench? The same people that told me, let's go bowling on Friday night. That's exactly what's going to happen. But if I said, we're going to dig that trench, and previously to that, I had Brother Malcolm take $100 bills and wrap them around rocks and put them down all throughout there, and we've got thousands of dollars and 100 bills that go from there to there, and they're just under the ground. Pastor, if he was doing that, why didn't he dig the trench? Don't ruin my illustration. But we put it down in there. We would show up. And so Solomon says, now, boy, wisdom is more valuable than those precious metals. And if you're going to dig the ground for precious metals, you need to dig the ground for wisdom. And he says, now, that's going to be, it's your choice. Listen, it's your choice if you want to find out what God says about a subject. If you're having marriage problems, it's your choice if you want to find out how to help your marriage. It's your choice if you want to find out how to grow in the Lord. It's your choice if you want to find out how to be saved. It's your choice if you want to find out how to have courage. It's our choice. Are we going to seek after wisdom? Are we going to incline our ear, believe in our heart? It'll be evidenced by our voice. It's our choice. Solomon's putting it to his son. Now, to every choice, there are consequences. No choice does not have a consequence. The rest of chapter 2, which I will not get the whole thing, all from verses 5 to 22, are all about the consequences of making the choice for wisdom. And you find in verse number 5, Solomon says, now, if you make that choice, you incline your ear and you apply your heart and you lift up your voice and cry out for wisdom and you search for her as for silver and as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand. And in verse number 5 and in verse number 9, Solomon teaches his boy that there are some certain things that wisdom enables you to understand. The first one is the fear of the Lord. Now, chapter 9, verse number 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 1, verse number 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You see, when I search for wisdom, and I apply my heart unto wisdom, and I'm digging in the Word of God for wisdom, it's not long that I discover the awesomeness, the safety, the security, and the joy, and the blessing of the fear of the Lord. I realize that there is this reverential awe that I am to have. I realize that as a parent respects his dad, and as a father loves his child, I have that same fellowship with the Lord. I have that same privilege in that same position with him. And so it is as I make a choice for wisdom and I begin to search it, I begin to understand how great the fear of the Lord is. I'm not necessarily sure that all of God's people understand the fear of the Lord to be a blessing. But let me tell you something. It is a blessing to have the fear of the Lord. It's joyful. It's security. It's safety. It's awesome to live your life under the fear of the Lord. It's marvelous to do that. Solomon is trying to teach his boy that the fear of the Lord is not something that God sent to cramp your style. It's something that is available for God to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. He says in verse number 9, then thou shalt understand righteousness. Now listen, that's what wisdom does. Wisdom enables you to understand things that are right, to have a right behavior, to have right thinking, to have a right attitude about laws, to have a right position in morality. And Solomon is desperately worried about his boy in morality. And he's writing about that. And he says, now when you search after wisdom, you're going to understand the joy of the fear of the Lord. You're going to understand things that are right. What about the word judgment? That word judgment there is the word justice in verse number 9. It's the word honesty. It's the word integrity. It speaks of a conformity. And Solomon says, now wisdom will bring about to you honesty, integrity, conformity, justice, and judgment. You'll begin to understand those things. Well, he goes on to the word equity. That word equity deals with the word fairness, or deals with treating people fairly, recognizing fairness, truth versus falsehood. It's that battle between those two thoughts. And then he goes in verse number 9, and here's our word again, and every good path, every good path. You see, you need God's wisdom to know what kind of career to use. Amen. I tell you, I don't know how many people I run into, and you have worked a job for 30-some years, and you are absolutely the most miserable person you've ever seen. And you got locked into that job somehow, but there's a bug up here. If you had it to do all over again, you wouldn't do it again. I wonder if he's taught the wisdom of God. Listen, you got a kid going to school, and they're telling you they want to be all these things. You know what you need to tell them, mom and dad? You need to ask them, what does God want you to be? The greatest thing your kid could be is what God wants them to be. Please do not send them to high school, take college courses in high school, get out of high school and get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a doctorate degree, and get out to life and hate what they do. It amazes me that happens. How did they ever get to that? Well, somebody failed a long time ago to instruct somebody to say, listen, you want to have the career that God wants you to have. What about a spouse? Wisdom will help you on a good path to a spouse. You want to marry the person that God wants you to marry. You want the one that God has for you. What about friends? Wisdom brings to us the right path of friendship. And let me tell you something. If you could be 15 or 50 in this room and friends are still influential to you. Amnon had a friend, and that friend talked him into being immoral and raping his own sister, destroyed his life, cost him his life. Don't tell me that. Friends aren't dangerous. What about philosophies? What about the ways of life? What about your home? See, Solomon says, now son, understand, wisdom will help you to understand the awesomeness of the fear of the Lord, a righteousness in behavior and thinking, morality, judgment, honesty and integrity, equity, truth and false and fairness, a good path in the direction of life. All of those things are valuable. And by the way, we need those too. Amen? Amen, we need those. So let me say a word to those of you that are afraid of the fear of the Lord and you won't submit to what God has for you. Some people in the room say, Pastor, I don't want to be a Christian because I'm afraid of all the pressure that it'll have to be to being a Christian. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing I ever did was become a Christian. Let me talk to those of you that are under the pressure of behavior and thinking and morality and laws and wondering about righteousness. And listen, that's what wisdom brings us to. And judgment and equity and good paths. And there's some understanding here that needs to happen. That's one consequence. Look at the second one and I'll be done. The second one also is in verse number 5. Not only is there understanding, but there's finding, there's discovery. And it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find or discover the knowledge of God. Solomon says, listen, you can have the knowledge of God. That's what wisdom will do. He goes on to teach his boy something I think is good for every one of us. For the Lord giveth wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Two things. Number one, only the Lord gives wisdom. Not Cosmopolitan magazine. Not the Inquirer. Not experience. Not necessarily your friend. Wisdom comes from the Lord. We would agree with that. Amen. But he also gives wisdom. Solomon says, now, son, understand that God gives wisdom. These guys are going to try to tell you they got wisdom. They don't have wisdom. They've rejected wisdom. God gives wisdom. You'll find the knowledge of God. Where does God give wisdom? Where does it come from? Look at verse number 6. Out of his what? Mouth. Why can wisdom come out of the mouth of God? Because wisdom's in the heart of God. Same reason wisdom comes out of our mouth, because it's in our heart. And so Solomon said, now, it's God that gives wisdom. It comes out of his mouth. What would be coming out of his mouth is his word. It cometh knowledge and understanding. So where does God give wisdom? Through his word. So then let me ask you this question. If you tell me, Pastor, desperately do I want wisdom, then I would look at you and say, how desperately are you in the book? How desperately are you in your book? You can understand whether or not you're telling the truth. You don't have to tell me. I have the same test. We both have to measure up to what we do with the book. If you say, hey, I want wisdom, but you're not in the book, then you don't want wisdom. And then, do you understand that? Say yes or no. Amen. We understand you got to be in the book. I got to keep going. I'm watching that clock. He layeth up, look at verse number 7. Thank you. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Why do you need to be in the book? That word layeth up in verse number 7 is the word stores up sound wisdom. You see, God stores up sound wisdom for the righteous. What the book does, and understanding that wisdom comes from the mouth of God, and now that is the knowledge of God, it enables me to be prepared for the times when I need wisdom. You know, here's what I'm finding. Decisions come pretty fast. They come pretty fast. Remember when you were a teenager? No, Pastor, that was eons ago. I know, I'm getting there. I'll never forget, I walked into a bait shop with a couple of boys. Kid said, you like that lure? I said, yeah. He said, let's get it and go fishing. I said, I don't have any money. He said, don't matter, let's just get it. I said, what do you mean? He said, let's just take it. I'm like, dude, I'm not taking that lure. I walked out, and I went away, and he came out and had stolen the lure. That fast. I remember being tempted in a morality way, in a moment. In a moment. I never drank alcohol in my life. To this day, I've never had a drink of alcohol. If you drink alcohol, it's between you and the Lord. I didn't ever drink it. But I'll never forget. I worked in, and I told you the story, I worked in where they returned alcohol, or they returned the cans, and I was crushing those cans, and you get deposit for them, and somebody had forgotten a big bottle of wine, and it was just me and me alone in that room, and the old devil said, you've never tasted it. You ought to take a taste. I think if I could have got it open, I may have, but I didn't know how to do that. So, man, I felt the Spirit of God just all over me. Man, it was a moment. I had a moment to make that decision. But I remember what my dad had taught me. I remember what the Word of God said. See, decisions come at us so fast. That's why you need to be prepared with the wisdom. And the Bible says that God layeth up, he stores up sound wisdom for us. So when I come to that point, I'm prepared and I'm able to make a decision, not based on how I feel at the moment, but from the wisdom of God. Think how less we would be scarred if we lived every moment like that. Sound wisdom. And then he goes on, he says, he is a buckler. That word's a shield. The wisdom is a shield to them that walk uprightly. And so not only is it stored up for me, but it helps me to shield it from those enemies. Helps me to be protected underneath the wisdom of God. Man, how we need that. how vulnerable we are when we get outside the wisdom of God. It says in verse 8 that you will find that he keepeth the paths of judgment. That means he guards our paths. He takes wisdom to guard us. And then he takes wisdom to preserve or direct the way of his saints. And we need that. And Solomon, at the end of chapter 10, and I'm done, he goes on to talk about the evil man in verse number 12. And then there's this evil woman in verse number 16. The evil man, he leaves the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness in verse number 13. And then the strange woman, she's out there and she forgets her house, for her house inclineth, or she forgets the guide of her youth, verse number 17. She forgets her husband and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She forgets about her marriage and she's promiscuous and she goes out on this path and her house inclineth unto death, verse 18, and her paths unto the dead. None that go under her return again, neither take they or regain they hold of the paths of life. And so Solomon's like, man, my boy's got all these paths and I'm promising, and they're dangerous paths. There's an evil man, there's evil women, there's this and that. Not that all women are evil. This is just talking about this woman that was aggressive here in this nature. And he said, I want my boy to be able to be guarded on the right path. How does that happen? From the wisdom of God. Let me tell you something. You as a parent are incapable, apart from the wisdom of God, of directing your child in spiritual direction. Got to have it. You got to have it. And so he goes on into those things. So the choice for wisdom. And by the way, it's a choice that we make every day. Every day. Wisdom is not something you can one time decide. You can't do that. If you think you made a one-time decision for wisdom and you're going to be set, you're going to fall. It's every single day you got to ask God for wisdom, direction, steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And if you take a day off or you depart from that, or you think you can in your own understanding, you're going to get swallowed up. My son, if thou wilt, if you make a choice, it'll be evidenced in the way you incline your ear, believe in your heart, vocalize, it'll be in your voice. It will be evident as you search for wisdom. And then all the understanding and the finding of knowledge of God will come and be a blessing. I don't know about you, but I want the wisdom of God. If you do, say amen. All right, let's make our choice then in the morning for the wisdom of God, shall we pray?